Let's pray. Father, you had a plan, and we messed it up. We've been trying to get out of it ever since. Show us something of yourself. Make us understand what you've got for us and what you expect of us, what you intend of us, that, Lord, we might be able to live for you in a way that you intend for us to live. Don't let Satan sidetrack us. He is so subtle, the most subtle of all creatures you ever created, the Word says. So what he does is going to be hard to find out. So, Lord, make us see the real you and the real way we're supposed to live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to run through several scriptures this morning, more or less to set the tone of the point I'm trying to get across. So there's probably no need. I'm going to be going too fast for you to follow me. So just listen. The point of this morning, I think, is that let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. We can't win in this ball game playing by our rules. It's His ball game, and the only way we'll ever win is by playing it with His rules, no matter how it seems. That's the only way it's going to work. He started this game. And we need to understand where He's coming from. Listen to this. It's familiar scriptures. I just want to remind you of them. In Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." Verse 31 said, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." I propose to you this morning that the reason He said it was very good is because it was like Him. What did it say? He created us in the image and likeness of Him. Adam and Eve walked around with no sin in a perfect place under perfect conditions. God walked with them on a daily basis, the Word says. What better life could anybody have? But He saw what He had done was good, I think, because we were created in the image and likeness of Him. Genesis 3:3 says, "But of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." 3:6 says, "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Verse 24 says, "So he drove out the man from the garden." I can see Eve saying, "God said, according to Adam, if I ate, I'd die. I've eaten, and I'm still alive." Satan said he was a liar. Must have been. Never realizing that God was talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death is when you are separated from God. And that's what happened. He took them out of that ideal situation and He ran them out, it said. He ran them out. They were separated from God and involved then in spiritual death. No longer in His image. No longer after His likeness. And it was not good. God had to run them out. And it wasn't good. because of sin. So then ask the question, well, what is the standard? It's still the image of God. After all these thousands of years, the thing that God says is good is His own image in us. After thousands of years, John 14:9, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "Christ, who is the image of God." In Colossians 1:15, it said, "Christ, who is the image of the invisible God." Matthew 3:17 said, "And lo, if you remember the words at the baptism of Christ, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" God says again, "I'm pleased with what I've done." He had to wait all that long. God, who sins not, had to wait thousands of years before something else could come along that He could say, "I'm well pleased." Why did He say that? For the same reason He said about Adam. I can see myself in Him. God never sinned. Jesus never sinned. God is pleased again. All that time, people have been trying to find a way to get back to God. They had all kind of rules and laws. They had all kind of things that they were to live up to. And it says they couldn't. There was none righteous. No, not one. So what is the standard for us? The Scripture says our standard is Jesus, the image of God. It says in Scripture that He is to be our example, that He came and lived so that we could see not Him, but God the Father. By looking at Him, we have an understanding, an earthly understanding of an earthly being that's like God. God is, what is, His ways are so far from our ways, as far as heaven is from earth. How can a man understand Him? The point He's making is he can't understand Him. So He sent Jesus that we might study and know Jesus so we could understand God the Father. And He said, "It's good. I've got something else that's good." Now that brings us to right now. What is the standard? I'm asking again. What is the standard? The image of God. God is looking for Himself in us. Let others see Jesus in you. But what are they looking at when they see Jesus? They're looking at God. Oswald Chambers says, "If a person is spiritual, when you leave a time with that person, you won't be impressed with who they are. The thing that will impress you, you feel like you have just left the presence of God." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that something? And man is all about trying to, as the old black fellow said, skim something off the top for himself. And that's what we're about. We want glory for ourselves. I want to ask you this question. I know most of you in this room and something about you. I know where you came from. I know something about your road, your spiritual road, your religious road, your Christian road, and some of the comments you've made and whatever. Let me ask you something. Just say a guy, it could be a guy, a girl, either one, doesn't matter. Let's just say he's 30, could be 35, could be 25, it doesn't matter. Comes up to you and says, I got a problem. I've been asked this. I don't know whether you have or not. Well, what kind of problem have you got? Well, you see, I wasn't raised in church. I don't know about those kind of things. But all of a sudden, I'm born again now. I've got God living within me, and I'm trying to find a place I can go worship. Where is that? Some of you know I'm very funny about recommending where people go to church, even here. I don't mean to put anybody or even us down. I hope by now you've figured out that to me, that's not the question. The question is, what about you and Jesus? It's all about you and Jesus. It's not about a building. It's not about a place. And when you are right with Jesus, you can be a lot of places. And when you are wrong with Jesus, you can't be any place. He says, I've tried all these places, and it's confusing me because we've got all these denominations. And I've been to visit four or five different ones, and they're all different, but they all say they're right. I've been to all these churches. They're all different, but they say they're all right. I've sat under all these preachers, and they're all different, but they say they're all right. What do I do? Now, do you believe that's not a poser? What do you tell them? What do you tell them? That's the reason I preach Jesus Christ. Because you never go wrong pointing them toward Jesus. Now, wherever they find a place to meet, and whoever they meet with, and whatever denomination it is, and whatever church it is, and whatever preacher it is, the thing that here that God is looking at, and please don't lose this. God is looking for Himself in us. That's what He's looking for. I don't know if we can be church right. We can only be God right. Does that make sense? We can be God right. What is rightness to God? What is rightness to Him? It's still the same definition. He wants to see Himself in us today. We were created to function with God. God created Adam and Eve to function with Him. And as long as Adam and Eve were in relationship with God and in fellowship with God, it was good. You know why I know that? Because God said it was. Then He had to run them out. He didn't say it was bad, in a sense. He takes 2/3 of the Bible to say that. But it was bad. Why? Because they're out of whack with God. And when sin is involved, we're out of whack with God. A car, it doesn't matter. If it's a 75,000, and I don't have any idea, I'm just throwing a figure out there like I did the age of that guy. I don't know if you can buy a Mercedes or a BMW for 75,000, but I bet you can. It has a few options on it, but you could probably spend that much for one. Without gas, it doesn't even make a good door stop. Why? Because an automobile was created to function with gas. And when you take the gas away from it, you got a big old chunk of steel and plastic. Well, probably today, more plastic than steel. But you have got something there that will not function. And a Christian under the influence of sin, an unsaved person who has got to be under the influence of sin, cannot function. Now, don't pick up your paper. Don't cut on the TV. and see all that's going on in the world today and get upset? Is it no wonder that the world is dysfunctional? It wasn't created to function without God. And it's trying to. We've kicked him out of schools. We've kicked him out of government. We've kicked him out of here. We kicked him out of here. And we are officially going about the business of kicking God out of everything we deal with. And watch. I'm old enough to see what happened to schools. As you kick him out of stuff, it goes downhill. Every single thing it does. I don't know whether I live long enough to see him completely kicked out of government and see what happens to it. But it looked like we got a pretty good start going now. And I'm not into politics. God wants to see himself, Jesus, in us. That's what it's all about. And Jesus didn't sin. Now, if you want to turn to the scripture, I want you to see this one in 1 John. It's a direct statement. I was brought up to believe that all direct statements in the Bible are commandments. So I'll treat this one as a commandment. First John, chapter 2, and verse 1. My little children. John is always calling believers little children. I like that. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If that is not underlined in your scripture, it may need to be. I write unto you that ye sin not. The commandment is do not sin. The next sentence. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. What is righteous? It's God. Jesus Christ the righteous. He is dealing here in this little bitty short sentence, two sentences in John, with the biggest problem we've got. He's letting you know that Jesus is right. And that you are not supposed to sin. But if you do, now, I've written it in my Bible, now, not then, now, we have an advocate with the Father. You know what an advocate is in my Strong's Concordance? It's an intercessor. It's somebody that stands between you and somebody else and appeals for you. Now, I'm still not supposed to sin. Well, you know, we all sin and come short of the glory. That don't make it all right. That's the point I'm trying to make. We've just had it all. Do not sin. Just because we've got an advocate with Jesus Christ, we're still not supposed to do it. And when God sees sin in our lives, He says, that's bad. And when He sees us overcoming sin, He said, that's good. Nothing else can produce God's righteousness but our sinful lives. Sinless lives. In all these years, we've had prisons, we've had rules, we've had policemen, we've had judges, we've got people in authority, civil authority, military authority, everywhere we go trying to keep us from sin. Hadn't worked. We still do. I don't know of one person that doesn't need that advocate. I don't know of one person that can handle it without Jesus. I don't know of one person that can get an attaboy. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Without Jesus, you got to have it. So it comes down to this then. For the unsaved person, what do they need? Jesus. For the saved person, what do they need? Jesus. It's all about Jesus again. Christ put God back into man. So God can say, I saw that it was good again. And we can only do that through Jesus. Only love for God, dependence on God, and obedience to God allows God to be God in you. And that's all He wanted to do from Adam on down, is to be Himself in us. He wants us to have the attitude that sin is not all right. Well, everybody does it. Oh, sin, you know that. Yes, those are truths. But it's never meant to be an excuse. For him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin, it says in the 14th chapter of Romans. And God does not recognize any other form of righteousness but His. Now, whatever denomination you may be in, whatever church you may be in, whatever preacher you may sit under, I have had conversations with half of you, I know, that you are doing this particular thing and the church says, they're okay. What is that? I don't know. Different things in different churches. We have different dress codes. Some churches you can't go to church dressed like I'm standing here preaching now. People will notice your clothes. Some churches, if you don't give, or nobody sees you give, or you don't make a point of your giving, you know. Some churches insist on you being there every time the door is open, and if you miss one single time, some dear soul wants to remind you that they missed you, and somehow, though, in your mind, you get the idea they didn't miss you at all. You ever been there? They're making a point that they were there and you weren't. That's the only way they knew you weren't there. It's a one-uppance thing. The point I'm trying to make is you can be satisfied with a lot of denominations, with a lot of preachers, with a lot of church people, with a lot of churches, with a lot of congregations, and not be satisfied with God. Because God is looking for Himself in people, not what it takes to please wherever it is you happen to go. Because you see, every standard other than God's standard has been tainted with sin. Because every other person but Jesus and God Himself are tainted with sin. So whatever we come up with, it's got a slide over there, as the old folks used to say, for me. It's going to make me look a little bit better. May not make you look better, but it's going to be engineered where I can look better, because you never had anybody get on you about anything they was involved in themselves. They wait till they overcome that. Then they pick on you about what you're doing. Right? That goes with volunteering too, you know. Churches are big on volunteer. If you volunteer a lot, I mean, you might wind up on drug pills. But you'll be a good one. Well, he's on drug pills, but you know he sure does work hard. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Why would you need pills if you got the peace of God. If you are right with God and the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, you've got peace. And then, of course, there's the old triangle, cussing, drinking, smoking. You know, you can't do that. Go to church. You just can't do that. And please God, you can't do that. But you know what? I witnessed one guy, one time, a guy was told by a preacher, "Well, you know, I've always preached against using tobacco. But I tell you what, I'd rather have a man using tobacco that loves like you do than to have somebody that doesn't use it and could care nothing about anybody. He who hath not love hath not me," John says in another place. God says you will know them. Jesus said you will know them by their love. Not by their church attendance or not by anything else. You'll know them by their love. Because you see, you can't be square with God and not love people. Because He is love. And if you've got Him in your heart and working with you and you're not out of whack with Him, you're going to love everybody. You can't help it. You may not be always right wherever you happen to be. As far as God is concerned, and be very comfortable where you are. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you tell somebody that comes to you with a question like that? Number one thing I tell them is learn your Bible. You can't go wrong knowing your Bible. Most everybody gets out of whack because they don't know their book. So learn. However you learn, learn. Put yourself under good teaching. Maybe correspondence courses, maybe TV, maybe VCR, whatever. Learn the Bible. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if I understand it, has been placed in you by Jesus when He left to be Jesus for you. And He will lead you to all truth. Listen to it. He will not lead you wrong. It's Jesus Himself. And then we come down to the place where we've been. Be obedient. Deny yourself. The problem is like Adam and Eve. When things went wrong with them, it's when they became their own God. Who makes the decisions in your life? Do you ask God to tell you what to do? Or do you thunk it up in your head? Do you reason it out? We've read that scripture in the 4th chapter of Ephesians in verse 17 where He says not to reason things out like the Gentiles, the people who have no God. Don't do that. Use your spirit. God gave it to you. Use it. You know that is a sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. All it was, all he did was he said, "I will be. I will be." There's about five of them. "I will be like the Most High God. I will do what I want to do. I'll make my own decisions. I'm going to govern my life. I will be God over my life." Well, there's two things I believe. Number one, I don't believe God ever created any one person to be another person's God. That's the reason sometimes you'll find I'm a little hesitant about telling you what you ought to do. You got a Holy Spirit. That's what it's there for. The other thing is, nobody was ever created to be their own God. And at one time or another, we are all involved in that. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Back just a few pages to the left. I want to share something with you that I've never really heard preached like this. I wished I had. I believe it would have stuck with me. I believe it would have. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, is what he's saying, and you won't walk in your flesh. Flesh is not a nasty thing, people. Here it is right here. You know what flesh is? Flesh is me. Simply me. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk under the command of yourself. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, verse 17, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let me tell you something. Since Adam and Eve decided to make their own decisions and to be their own God, and sin was introduced into the world, we have had to deal with sin. Adam and Eve had it, and everybody born after that came in the world with it, and you got it. It's called the old sin nature. Your grandma had it. I don't care how spiritual she was or saintly, and you got it. The question is, and here is where we've come to today, this all was set to come to this one place in our time together. What are you going to do about sin? What are you going to do about it? Because we've got an advocate now, and Jesus can cover that with the Father, shouldn't make it any less of a responsibility for you not to do it. We've got that flesh inside of us. We had it when we were born. By the time we get saved, most of us have lived with that flesh for several years, and it is entrenched, and it will fight, just like the Scripture here says. It will fight with the Holy Spirit of God for every single inch of you. And when you try to overcome it, it does not intend for you to do that, and it will fight you tooth, claw, and toenail. It does not intend to leave if there's any way it can. Because you see, flesh is Satan himself. That is the part of you that he's got even after you're born again. Whatever you do in the flesh, Satan smiles. He says, "Well, God, you got him forever. But I had him today." And that's what Satan is satisfied with. Can I get you today? Because you see, every time he does, he can say, "Yeah, nah, 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 nah," to God. Well, you might have got him saved. He might spend eternity in heaven, but I had him for just a few minutes today. Now, let me tell you something that'll perk your ears up. Your flesh and my flesh, the flesh of born-again believers, will teach a Sunday school class, will volunteer for the mission field, will be working hard in the local church, will even stand in front of a group of people and preach in order to survive. It will do anything to keep from getting cut off by God through the Holy Spirit. Don't be surprised. That is just how strong it is. And you know, all you've got to do is look back in your life at some point in time I don't have to look back too far in mine. You've done something that you didn't want to do. That's what it said a while ago. It will make you do things you don't want to do. Do you want to do this? Oh no, I'd never do that. And you find yourself in 24 hours doing exactly the same thing. Like Paul said, I find that there is a law within me that when I would do good, there is evil present within me. And I've got to fight it constantly. There is only one way to deal with the flesh. One way to deal with the flesh. One way to deal with the flesh. And here it is. The Holy Spirit of God can put a noose around the flesh and hang him from the highest tree. And put a stop to every bit of the work in your life. Will that mean you'll never sin anymore? No, it doesn't. But it'll take a lot of it out of there. But the Holy Spirit has got to have your cooperation. What is the greatest enemy to God? It's not Satan. It's me. It's my flesh. I have the power to speak to a mountain and have it slide off into the ocean. How about that? But I had never come close to doing it because of my flesh. And the way it accomplishes this, you say, Lord, I don't want anything in me that you don't want there. If it's not like you, I don't want it. Whatever is in me that is not like you, will you please help me get it out of here? And if you're honest and you're truthful about that, the Holy Spirit will start working with you. And things will happen with you that you wouldn't believe. You don't see things like you used to. You don't react to things like you used to. You don't fall for things like you used to. And all it takes is just a truthful commitment to the Lord. Lord, I honestly don't want anything in me that's not you. That's all. And spend a good bit of time studying Jesus' life because that's who God gave us as an example. We can figure it out that way. We can figure it out. There are a lot of things you'll find in the Word that Jesus did that we don't do like that. Well, why don't we do like that? Because we've come up with other ways. And everybody's happy with them. I asked a fellow one time in a particular big denomination, why do y'all do this? It's against the Scriptures. But everybody does. You can look around and find 40,000 more people doing it. That is the thing that gets us. We're not the only one. So that makes it okay. Well, you compare me with that whole bunch of, you know, I look pretty good. Well, I've learned I can look around far enough and I can find somebody real nasty. And I can say, boy, I look better than he does. But you see, that doesn't count with God. God says, I don't want you better than him. I don't want you, lady, better than her. I want you like me. When I see me in you, I will say, that's good. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he can say to us, like he did in the parable of the talents, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. With all the rhetoric and with all the sermons and with all the points and with all the scripture and with all the programs and with all everything that's going on, it's two issues, salvation and flesh. That's all it is. And when you're saved, you've got one more hill to climb. And that's to hang the flesh in your life. Let the Holy Spirit, you can't do it, but the Holy Spirit will do it for you if you earnestly pray that that's what you want. Let's pray. Father, your servant Paul preached that we wouldn't miss the simplicity that's in the gospel. That word, Lord, simplicity, stays not too far from my head, because I want the simplicity of it. I'm not sure I can understand anything else. Today, Lord, you've showed us that it's a very simple thing. When you see you in us, you're pleased. You even sent Jesus to show us, and then had him die on the cross so he could be that advocate for us when we don't do in a way that pleases you. Thank you for that, Lord, but don't let us use it as a crutch and an excuse. Make us desire, and let you know truthfully that we desire to be like you. And that calls for denying ourselves and hanging the flesh. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.